Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, wherever you are finding us. Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. We are glad you're aboard. And if you don't catch us live, always remember, download us wherever you get your pods. And text us at 590-590. We'll get Sammy to say all the good stuff you want to say about us.
It's a great day to text us.
As I said, Nick Kiprios, Justin Barnes, Sammy McKee, the Leafs. Oh, and Derek Brandeo and Frank the Tank again.
Oh, my goodness.
Not forget those guys.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The Leafs.
I put Frank's last name on there.
Yeah, well, not, you know what? You hear my ooh? I just looked at it.
Barzaka?
It's the...
Am I close? Oh,
I have no idea. I was hoping you were going to say it. Barzaka.
Barzaka.
Yeah.
Love it.
So you put that Frank on for me, and you don't even know how to pronounce it.
Nope.
And you just
correct. That's what
hang
happened.
Me out to dry.
I thought, I mean, you're a really professional host, Kipper. I thought you'd be able to handle that.
Not even close. The Leafs back on the ice after two days off. And those 2 days, I was told they needed those 2 days to assemble whatever they brought home from the IKEA.
Oh. You know, you can pay someone to do that. I didn't know that was an option, but apparently, yeah, someone
no
will come build it for you.
Now, it's just my guess, and I don't know. I've never asked you guys before, but my guess is, JB, you would be unbelievable at assembling that stuff.
Oh, God.
And Sammy would absolutely suck at it.
Well, you got me between the eyes. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm a nightmare, Kip. Oh,
no, that's not
your
thing.
My wife won't even let me in the room anymore. Like, it's all her.
Maybe it's just a guy thing.
I rush a step, and then you can't go back, and you've missed. It's just.
I have to give my wife a shout out, too. She's excellent at it because she's got good patience.
Yeah.
She can, like,
read the instructions.
I'm just like, oh, this is going.
I've never.
That's probably how it goes.
I've never done any of that stuff without it having at least four extra screws in my hands.
You don't own anything IKEA. I'm coming to your house. It's all teak and hardwoods, I'm sure.
No, we do. And then I'll put the whole thing together, and I'll find out that the A side should be on the inside and not the outside.
Oh, you can't undo it.
And you got to go back.
It's horrible.
Start over.
I went to IKEA this past weekend, and it didn't resolve in a relationship-ending fight.
That's
which
good.
Is very good. That's success. That's a big-time accomplishment.
And what about the company Christmas party yesterday? How was that?
Playing a little hurt today, boys.
Are you a little fragile?
I said I wasn't going to.
What was your drink of choice last night?
A few IPAs. Got away from me a little bit. Yeah, too bad. Nothing crazy, but
this is
I was having a good time.
This is the first time you've ever gone to a Sportsnet event and as a celebrity.
Here we
it's
go.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
I got, you know what doppelganger I got twice last night and I've never heard it before? People told me I look like Connor McDavid twice last night. I was like, I don't think I look like Connor McDavid, do you?
Yeah, no.
Is it just tall and white with a beard? Is that what it is?
Legit, just like,
well, I got Ryan O'Reilly all the time last year. Like when he was playing here, people were like, you look a lot like Ryan O'Reilly. I mean, I've gotten just pretty much generic white guy with beard.
Good beard density.
Yeah,
I think that could be
but
it.
You don't think I look like Connor? The only thing I look like Connor is on the ice, boys. That's the only place I look like Connor.
Connor doesn't look like Connor right now.
Fair enough.
No, but shout out to Sportsnet's 25th anniversary party. We had a blast last night. Lots of great people that work here. We had a lot of fun. So there you go.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
All right. Any thoughts and ideas how they felt or looked, or will we get all of that from Sheldon Keefe?
I didn't really watch practice too closely. I was lying on the couch before I came here today, so I didn't get too good a look at practice. But if you listen to the first clip, he has a pretty glowing review of how everybody looked.
Okay. All right, let's kick off the show with Sheldon Keefe glowing.
Yeah, just about not underrating it, like, you know, giving it the proper
number
attention.
All right.
That's okay.
What was that one?
That was just out of context.
Yeah. Sense is the guys come back with lots of energy. Seems like they're more like themselves. And that the recovery's gone well, if today's practice is any indication. Obviously, how they bounce back and then go at it again tomorrow will be a strong indicator for us of exactly where they're at. I think having 2 days off the ice and away and all that kind of stuff. Now, we did have a bunch of guys that found their way in here yesterday just to get a little active. But just the 2 days away of kind of a mental break in itself kind of recharges them. So today was really good. I think tomorrow will be a real indicator of exactly where we're at, but it was encouraging today.
I couldn't help think of my own experience as a professional hockey player, albeit not in the NHL. You're still on the buses, on the planes, in the hotels, with the guys, all that stuff. And I loved a day away just to not see the same people and talk to the same guys. It's every day when you're in that sort of circuit. So I could see it for the guys. What were you like that too? Do you like to get away from the guys? Or you like to hang?
No. I like to hang.
Yeah. And constant, all year.
All year. And wanted just to make them laugh. Or
yeah.
Just, I needed that energy around me. I'm not that great by myself.
Oh, no. I curl up in a hole. I go to a movie by myself. I need a minute.
Dougie Hamilton over here going to museums or whatever.
Yeah. I just, it's so much, man.
That's because you're way more intelligent than I am.
That's all it is.
Your brain is starving for more than
No, you have a softer
mine.
Heart. That's what it is. And I was, get me away from these idiots.
Well, my tendency to, if I was to, as I am, looking up from the outside, looking in, Willie would be that type of guy that, you know, I'm not sure if he's your typical kind of jock.
Yeah.
That he's a type of guy that I think can go on his own every once in a while, which probably sets him up well for a couple of days off, and no one would need it more than him.
Yeah, and I think there's also, you know, there's the guys with families, like I'm sure Giordano, you know, back with his crew, like everyone was happy to have a couple of days away from it all. Like if you're Detroit, they play today. Wings were on that same trip, maybe left a day earlier because they had the back-to-back games, but like they're right back
just
at it.
Day.
Yeah. And so it would just feel to me, if I were them, you're doing the jet lag and time change and changing your sleep cycle, you arrive back here, and now it's like we got Jack Hughes tonight.
And you mentioned it, and we mentioned it the other day, that like it really set up as best for the Leafs, right? There was just nothing that suggested that they hadn't thought about this real closely in terms of, if we're going to do this, what's our best case scenario, and we're going to ask for it, and we're going to get it.
Yeah. No, it's very generous in terms of what they've got coming back here, and obviously what they had over there too. So, as you mentioned, only seems fair, you know, if you're going to get us to go over there, and they should take advantage of it on Friday.
At the end of the trip with Matthews, I think he had a quote where they were talking about the trip. He's like, yeah, looking forward to I've been seeing these guys a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, after that long of a trip together, it's like you don't have any me time, really.
No, you're in the hotel and
you're always together.
Team meals, just like, you know, these big round buffet tables where you sit with the same meatballs.
But, you know, I think it's pretty good to hear that even though it's two sort of, I guess, mandatory off days, that guys are, they go back there.
Yeah.
They're like one day off, they're like, I got to go back in there and
just,
you know, mill about, tape my stick, hit the bike.
To see what Kip's been up to.
Yeah.
You can get your 2 days off. You can square away everything with your sleep doctor, but there are no guarantees on how you prevent a dip when you return.
Did you know? What's the Guy Boucher thing?
Guy Boucher was the coach of the Ottawa Senators in 2017-2018, and they went to Stockholm. I think it was the first games played outside of Canada outside of North America since 2011 or whatever. They were over there. And they came back, and I think they lost 12 of 13 games after coming back.
12 of 13.
And
I mean,
they kind of stunk. They weren't they're kind of flailing at that point or whatever. I think that was the season with, like, the Uber video that came out.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, like,
who was that in the Uber?
It was Duchesne, and it was DeMello. Like, there's I forget the crew, but.
Yeah.
So I think this trip, when we all talked glowingly about how incredible it was, I think that's going to be measured against this next stretch
of
games.
How it goes after it. So
right?
True. You come home and just, like, fall apart. It's a different type of trip in retrospect.
Yeah. So we want to play the Keith clip, too, talking about that if you want. We can react off of it.
Yeah, just about not underrating it. Like, you know, giving it the proper attention that it deserves, that it's a real thing that you have to manage, and you can't just expect the guys to push through and grind through without us being really smart and deliberate and doing what we can to take care of them. So how we've handled the return coming home Sunday night, and then the last couple of days, just letting them sort of find themselves and get what they need out of it. And then just be mindful, and we're at the rink here today and tomorrow. And, you know, we have another funky start time on Friday. That's, you know, we'll be it's not a regular game day routine, so it's a lot like what we had in Sweden in that sense. But just be really purposeful about what we're doing and give them every opportunity to bounce back.
So, yeah, the science guys, like all like the sleep dog, this is just their Super Bowl. They're giving,
is.
Oh, they're having meetings.
They're justify like, my salary here.
Dusting off the PowerPoint. It's like, here we go, baby. It's time.
I just don't get lit up 3-0 in the first period.
They need an effort more than anyone else in the Leafs organization to justify what they've done here.
And they avoided the back-to-back in Sweden, but they won't this coming weekend with Chicago and Pittsburgh Saturday night.
Good thing, though, the 2 p.m. start is 8 p.m. Sweden time. You know, their bodies can't, they can't claim that their body clocks are too far off.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's like game time in Sweden.
What does occur to me most out of that Keefe clip is the word deliberate. Like, we're being very deliberate with, like, respecting the trip and, like, what it could have done to the guys and all that. So they're, you know, they're paying real attention to it, which I think is, it's typical of coaches to go, play through it. You're fine. Yeah, buck up.
That's kind of, I mean, that's kind of how I feel.
Well, of course.
I mean, these guys, it's like they weren't, you know, flying coach. You know, it's like they're in like a plane.
Yeah,
it's
you're
like
the guy who says jet lag's not real.
World-class meals on the flight. They got all the room in the world. They're not 6'5" and coach with their knees up to their chin like me. It's like,
it's important to respect it. I
get it. But these are 25-year-old elite athletes, boys.
I can tell you, though, you can overdo it sometimes.
Agreed.
Right?
And where you're putting it in their head, they're going to be
first
all messed
of all,
up.
We know the gazillions of dollars MLSE has over most of the clubs. So what you end up doing is putting it back in and creating these new divisions and thinking you're doing something that's helping you win. But there can be a few players that can occasionally look at somebody and go,
I got an out here.
Just leave me alone.
Oh, would you?
Yeah, just leave me alone. Don't worry about it. I'm a big boy. I know when to turn the lights off and go to bed. I mean, you can overdo it a little bit. Not knowing Ryan O'Reilly very well, I wonder if maybe there was a part of him that sat there and said, yeah, I don't want to be micromanaged.
I don't think the Leafs have this many more guys and this many more.
Are you kidding me?
Listen, Rich Rottenberg is their strength. Is, you know, he's involved in the staff. He's not just the sleep. They
got people that tell you how to breathe.
I think that's overblown. I don't think that's the case.
I wanted to pull up their staff page. Remember we pulled it up one time?
Yeah, it's massive.
It's
I know.
They have like just 300. There's like 25
go get their
people.
Their payroll and take a look at what they created. It's a city in itself.
We can figure this out. We know people in the Leafs organization.
I'm just saying that sometimes you
I
can
know what
overdo
you're saying.
It a little bit with some of the players.
Yeah, they got a lot of people.
They got a lot of people.
I did at least 4 scrolls there. Like I was just long.
It's
list.
Fine if everybody's okay and they embrace it, but you know. See the shrink coming down the hallway. Going the other way.
It's such an old hockey thing to be like, nothing, just play. Just drop the puck.
Oh, well, they got 2 full days off. They had a nice practice.
Yes, we'll and that's because they're respecting the process. That's what respecting the process is.
We'll see how the cajillionaire, perfectly tuned athletes look tomorrow. Maybe they won't be good to, like, God, Lord.
We'll see. And it is Chicago, so, you know, you're not playing Vegas right now or... Well, Vegas has lost a couple, I think, in the last little while.
They are playing Connor Bedard.
That alone will keep you on your toes, I think, for the first 20 minutes. All right, any news on Klingberg at all today?
Would you like the coach to provide an update for
you? Yes, really need a John Klingberg update on Kippers Clipper number 3.
Yeah, no update on him.
What do they build it up for?
We'll have something for you. You know, when something's changed. And at this point, there's no change in his status.
The stop asking me answer.
Okay.
Not going to play this week.
You know what no status means. It's like he's not improving.
Yeah. Not playing this week. He was asked later in the... So he won't play this weekend. I guess he won't play the next few games. So an update would be good, I think.
They might not even know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know
a lot.
Fire up the boat.
To the island?
Island.
What kind of boat goes over there? Is it a rowboat?
Rowboat.
I don't Made of rice crackers. It just disappears eventually. It's gone.
With every passing day, it starts to feel more and more likely, doesn't it?
I don't know. Like, you got a lot of Leaf fans right now going. Yeah, we see better ways to spend $4.1 million.
Of course, assuming he's out for the year. The worst case scenario is that we'll see how he's doing in 5 months or something, you know?
I don't know. There, sure. Take another crack at that.
Was it a Love Boat
No,
song?
I think it was Gilligan.
Oh.
See, you can tell my era, right? I picked that up first
just
like
note.
That. First note. Name that tune.
No idea.
Gilligan's Island.
Never.
What did you say? Love Boat?
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Don't look at me for answers about old guy TV shows.
Is Derek an old? Derek's not an old.
There wouldn't be.
yes, he is.
JB, there wouldn't be anything like definitive coming on. Like, you could put him on LTIR, but without making that major commitment to go spend that money, that would have to come in the new year. There's just no way.
Okay, but like, it doesn't help you at all. You know, it doesn't fix your problem. All it does is tie up 4.1 on a guy you can't use.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So I'm sure they would like him to give them some sort of answer. I guess you could spend 1.15 of that, which you assume you could bury in the minors if you wanted. Something.
Yeah, but that doesn't help you make a major commitment on trading for somebody else.
No. So stay tuned on that. Don't ask Sheldon. He'll tell you when something's up.
Yeah, it really did feel like we have no idea. He's got to talk to the other four people that got to talk to John first. Like the Frederick Anderson thing.
Yeah.
He's on the ice.
Is he in a tracksuit or equipment?
In about, 15 minutes, we're going to welcome in Joshua Cloak, Leaf, a writer for The Athletic. Now, did Joshua actually go to Sweden?
He did.
Oh, yes. I saw. He's a foodie of sorts, and
was
I saw some of the...
in the audience when we saw Willie in his IKEA undershirt?
I don't know if he's in the audience, but he asked some questions about it. We'll have some more information on Willie. The pressing question of this week is, how do you end up in that?
Mark Masters asked him today, and he's like, it's just easy. That's what he said. He's like, you're somewhat of a fashion guy, and you, or what, how'd you decide on that? He's like, it was easy.
This is the answer. Straight Hanes undershirt.
I mean, he's not wrong. It is easy.
No, fair enough.
Yeah. Do we want to go back to Sheldon talking about what he liked most about Sweden, or are we done there?
Well, I don't know. I think it sets the stage for this.
Because he talked about it.
All right.
He was asked about it.
All right. But, like, you were fascinated by it?
Those are the last hockey games that the Toronto Maple Leafs played, and we're a show that talks about the Toronto Maple Leafs playing hockey when they used to do that.
Oh, those are the days.
He spoke about the last time they played and looking ahead and thought it was worthy.
But play it.
If we don't want to
play
you're the producer.
There we go.
Let's go.
I explained myself.
Clip four.
Yeah.
Well, I love that we found ways to get our points. We found ways to get wins. Whether it was Willie coming through in big moments, Willie obviously is over 10 goals, a huge moment, and some of his play in the third period against Detroit is great. But also, Tyler Bertuzzi, John Tavares were a really big part of that as well. Matthews Marner line, scored us two big goals at 5-on-5 against Minnesota. Penalty kill, didn't allow anything while we were out there. Like, there's lots of good things that happened that allowed us to get points. So that was really good. We didn't play our best hockey, that's for sure. But a lot of encouraging signs of how the group pulled together at big moments to make sure that we got our points.
To me, the most encouraging thing is Tyler Bertuzzi out of Sweden.
That was the name that stood out to me, too, that he got a mention in for Bertuzzi, who, after 6 or 7 games of the year, we're going, what did they do here?
Yeah. And he seemed to find, I don't know, is it the pace of his game or like the way, like the role on that line? Like, what do you think it's been that's changed with him? Because I
do think fit.
Yeah.
Personally, just like him being able to work with a couple of guys who play in a way that complements his game a bit. When he gets that blue paint and opens up some space and those little passes in the ozone, I don't know, it just seemed like a pretty good fit to me.
He has to just, for me, a type of player that he is, he has to be emotionally, invested.
He was thrilled when they were scoring. He was the happiest guy when they were scoring.
I just saw him on the outer edge of that for the first 15 games.
Yeah.
And I maybe there's just a comfort zone that he's feeling now for the first time. Expect him to, if anyone envisioned 85, 90 points out of him on a line with Matthews and Marner, that's just not going to happen. But
can it be
25 and 30? Would you take 55 points, 60 points with that physicality of throwing a Justin Hull against the boards and stripping the puck off and bringing it in? Like, you know, he physically, that's a hit that you wouldn't necessarily have saw from Bunting. Bunting would probably have to steal the puck, but he physically could not push Justin Hall like that, like Bertuzzi. That's that's the upgrade that I saw going from a Bunting to a Bertuzzi.
And they're just three strong guys. Like, you know, in the O-zone, if they get into that O-zone, that line can be effective. If he can help them play in that end a little bit more, that would help too. But yeah, it's it seems to be there for him on that line anyway.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we'll welcome in Joshua Cloak and talk a little bit more Swedish hockey with him.
You want to talk net guards?
Okay, what was net guards for?
Well, there's guys wearing...
Gio's wearing them.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys that... Gio has never looked more like a North York Men's League guy than he looks like.
I've played against guy
Gio like 10 times a week.
So, okay, so we got Keith...
We don't have to play. I
no,
put it in
let's play. You put it in, Sammy. Oh, I don't want to ignore your clips,
here we go.
Even though some of them are useless.
All right, play it there, Derek.
I think it makes a lot of sense, and okay. I'm in full support of guys if that's how they, if they're comfortable doing that. And I think at this point, guys are just experimenting to see what works for them. I think it's a very personal thing, especially when we're in the midst of a season and guys, you know, performing at the highest level with lots of pressure and expectations and such that, you know, are very particular about their gear and stuff like that. But I think the more players that do it obviously makes them safer. And I think sends a really message to young people, you know, that that, you know, that is an important piece of equipment that, you know, those that are not playing at the highest level and are not playing with the same level of expectations or pressures, that safety should be the utmost priority.
Perfect.
I heard a guy giving his guys an out too, you know, saying the right things, but also saying, you know, guys are playing at the highest
really,
level in particular
is,
about
this
their
is
gear.
The way it should be. It's there. It's available.
Yeah.
Please take it. No one's saying that you can't take it here. So
yeah.
That it's working the way it should.
And Willie gave a very committed answer on it. He said he's willing to give it a net guard a try at some point.
Provided it's Balenciaga.
Versace. Yeah.
Apparently they brought in three different types of net guards, and they are all able to try all these different ones. And that's the smart way to do it. Like,
my son's
give them options.
$9.99 one from second time around if they want.
All right. Let's hit a break. Get to Josh.
We need European design.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, now we take our break. From neck guards to Joshua Cloak. After the break, more Real Kipper and Born.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Go to Joshua Cloak, momentarily. Pick it up where we left off. I think, Willie, you made an interesting point the other day that you thought maybe there might be a lull coming up a little bit.
I think there's a lot of reason for excitement for Willie, right? It's a contract year. Came in, you know, playing his heart out. Then you get the excitement of, as the rest of the league kind of flags a little bit, you go to Sweden and play in front of grandma and get all excited. I think probably a little harder to come home and go, all right, now I'm fired up for, you know, game 18 or whatever. So it's possible.
It appears Ryan Reeves is on the outside looking in, at least going to Chicago for Friday afternoon's game.
Wow.
Is this one of these where the coach thinks we're playing well enough, I don't want to rock the boat? Because you got to fit him in eventually. You can't. the struggles are there, and you can't ignore them, but you can't also bail on Ryan Reeves.
No.
20 games into a three-year deal.
What's crazy is, you know, I had the thought, like, maybe they're looking ahead. Like, it's a back-to-back. They're going to get him in one of the two. Is he a better fit to play against Pittsburgh or Chicago? But Pittsburgh doesn't have anyone that's particularly physical or nasty or anything like that. So, either way.
Corey Perry revenge game on Friday night when after he called him out?
I wonder if they want to avoid that.
Probably.
I wonder if they're looking to get, you know... Anyway.
Okay, let's welcome in Joshua Cloak, Leaf writer for The Athletic. Joshua, you were in Sweden. Did you need 2 days off before you went to work?
I literally just I stepped in the door about 8 minutes ago.
From Sweden?
From Sweden. Well, Siegel and I took a little detour, and we spent a few days in Copenhagen because when are you going to be back there? And... yeah, why not? So I don't know. I got to go back to work tomorrow. I don't get 2 days off. So I guess that's my answer. I don't know. I feel good. Is that
How was the weather in Copenhagen? Rainy.
Yeah, it was pretty miserable. The weather was miserable.
Yeah, I know. I was there.
Is that a thing there?
I think it's a thing there.
Is it Ireland?
I mean, yeah, the weather in Sweden wasn't any better. And I know that was kind of a storyline that there was a few players that were calling out the lack of sunshine. I don't know. You're still in beautiful old Europe, but that was definitely a thing. Like the weather was pretty terrible throughout.
Yeah. The sleep doctors just had their heyday, right? It's you got your circadian rhythms all wrong, earning their paychecks down there.
Okay.
There.
So coming off of Sweden, it was, it seemed almost too perfect for Willie, the Leafs, all of it. There wasn't a chance the fix was in here. I mean, it was so perfect.
Well, they were also playing teams that the Leafs had a pretty, let's be honest, a pretty soft schedule, right? Both the games they played, they were playing teams on the second night of a back-to-back. And even though the Leafs were technically the away team, that pretty much just meant last change, that, you know, when you were in the rink itself, each team had their own goal songs, each team had their own specific warm-up songs. It certainly never felt like an away game at all for the Leafs. So pretty soft for them. And I think all those little things kind of helped contribute to making the team as comfortable as possible. I think some guys, just kind of thinking about it now and thinking about it on the flight back, I think some guys embraced it a little more than others. And I think you saw that in their play. I think there were some guys that probably didn't want to be there as much. But I think, you know, the guys that did want to be there played well. And Willie was one of them, right?
Yeah, Willie was one of them. And sometimes when you do these interviews, you save the question you really want to ask. You work it in the question. Yeah. But I just want to talk about Willie and his tank top on the talk show. So we're going right to that. You were there. You're on the ground. What is that all about? What kind of talk show is that? They're asking about sending pictures. And just give us the background on the Willie talk show experience.
I'm laughing because I'm kind of, as soon as I kind of saw it unfolding, I put myself in the shoes of the Leafs and MLSE PR people. And I just wondered how fast their hearts started beating and how tense they were getting. Watching Willie get you're right, essentially groped by a senior citizen who was calling him a strong, groovy man. They were playing this Never Have I Ever game. And, you know, if they had done it, they had to take a drink. And they're asking Willie about, you know, having relations with fans, sending nudes. This is stuff that would be earth-shattering.
Imagine.
If we're asked,
but it's okay, right? It's
Toronto.
Okay because it was a reversal.
Imagine us presenting that, though, to Leafs PR, though, that we wanted to have Willie on to ask those questions. Imagine.
I don't think you'd see or you'd even get an accreditation like paper ever again. You know, it wouldn't even be a consideration. But to me, like, this was Willie going like full Willie, right? Like just embracing the moment and being the kind of guy that I think he's like been building towards for like the past few years. Like we've always kind of known that Willie likes to do things his own way and he kind of lives outside the box. But when you saw him being as comfortable as he was, you got an idea of just how massive his star power could be. Like, don't we want more NHL players, you know, making these kind of appearances and being honest, being genuine? Like that's what my takeaway from it was, is like, this is him. Like, if that's what being a star is in Sweden, he lapped it up. And I think we're really seeing Willie Nylander become the star that honestly, I think he's always kind of been destined to be. And I really think we're going to look back at, you know, this Sweden trip. And honestly, man, like that talk show appearance as a turning point in his career is like, this was the point where Willie became a bona fide NHL star, right?
So does that mean now we're going to see him on breakfast television with the same undershirt? Like, is that what's going to happen here? Is it following him back home here in Toronto?
Like, we're going to start, like, my prediction is, like, Halloween 2024, Willie Nylander in the tank top is going to be the Vogue costume. Like, the thing to wear. So my understanding was that he had a shirt on, like, a button-up shirt, and then, like, seconds before he was meant to, like, go on the stage, he just said, nah, and he ripped it off. And he went on stage in a tank top.
Went for the romance novel cover look.
I want to pick up on this feeling that you have that he is just he's gone to another star level here. So does that mean that the Leafs are now forced to sign him at all costs here?
I mean, weren't they always forced to sign him at all costs? Like, right, like, I mean, if going forward, like, John Tavares is not going to be the player he was a few years ago. Like, you're going to legitimately need Willie Nylander to compete. Like, he's gotten better every single year. And I don't know if it was the tank top that, you know, was going to force Brad Treliving, you know, into a corner here. I don't know. Like, I've always thought that the Leafs were just, they had to sign him at all costs. I mean, how much do you think his price tag has gone up, like, after Sweden? Genuine question.
I thought prior to Sweden that he's making an argument to be paid in the top 10. And if he doesn't hit Pasternak's number, he can hit the percentage that Pasternak has on Boston.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, if you are Willie Nylander's camp, you can build all of this into your argument, right? Mm-hmm. You can build the fact that, like, you now have another, like, actual star that you can use to you know, literally to sell tickets. Because the bigger Willie Nylander gets, you know, the more he's, like, not going to play, what, fourth fiddle anymore. Like, he's going to become the guy that kids are going to want to go see. He's going to become a face that the Leafs can sell even more. That's going to drive his, you know, his value up too. I don't know. There was probably a case to be made that it was in the, you know, the 10 million range before the season. I don't see how that's going to be possible now.
Just got a groan from McKee. Are we done on Willie Kipping? Right. Can I move on?
Anywhere you want to go, pal.
All right. I want to talk about the Leafs defense. I wrote about their defense today. Yep. You know, imperfect, I would say, but they've done a decent job of keeping pucks out of their nets. You know, what are your thoughts on what's going to happen here with their depth pairs? It's been Benoit. It's been Lagesson. They got Timmins coming back. Like, is this what it's going to look like for the Leafs leading up to the trade deadline?
Probably not, right? Like, you... Lagesson and Timmins and Benoit, these are all just like nice, fine players. But this is going to sound cliche, but like nice, fine defensemen, like, don't get you to the third and fourth round of the playoffs, right? I genuinely think Brad Treliving went into this season with upgrading the defense as his biggest priority. And I think he was, I don't know if unhappy is the right word, with the defense heading into the season, but he was pretty adamant on making changes. And I think, you know, the health of John Klingberg has forced his hand even more. It wouldn't surprise me if we see a drastic change to the Leafs blue line relatively soon, right? I think Brad Treliving is really feeling out the market and seeing what he can do. I think he needs to get, you know, an answer one way or another on the health of John Klingberg before he makes a pretty big deal. But I mean, the Leafs blue line, I think, you know, we can argue is probably worse than last year. And, you know, again, Treliving was pretty clear heading into the season that, you know, he's big on defensemen and big on big defensemen. And that's a priority for him when building out his team. So I can't see this going on much longer, because if you look at, and I know you kind of wrote about this, but if you look at the biggest change from this year's Leafs to last year's Leafs, it's just how much more porous they are defensively. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is just unsustainable, especially when you get into those, you know, the dog days of the season when guys are getting tired and, you know, and Austin and Willie go cold for a bit, like, and you can't outscore your problems. That this is just such a major area that needs to be addressed. And I have to imagine it's a real priority right now.
We're talking to Joshua Cloak, Leaf writer for The Athletic. Do you envision a scenario where they agree with Klingberg to take a lot of time off and maybe settle up or settle down what might be a hip issue? He's had two surgeries there in the past. And maybe it's another scenario where we see a guy disappear only to reappear after the trade deadline or the cap and the depth in the playoffs. All of a sudden, he's somewhere to be found.
Like, I'm grimacing because, like, I've never liked that. But the rules are the rules, and the rules are there for people to kind of take advantage of them. So it's possible. There's certainly, what I can say is they're certainly laying the groundwork for that to happen, right? One of the most interesting things that we took away from Sweden was Sheldon Keefe. And I'm sure this has been on Kipper's clips, you know, like Sheldon Keefe essentially saying it's trending in the direction of John Klingberg's injury becoming serious and long-term. So you can see they're kind of setting people up for the understanding that this is going to happen. I don't know. What I get from talking to John Klingberg and being around him is that he really wants to play. And I don't think he's going to be one to go quietly into the night, because, like, if this is, and I'm not saying this is it, but if this is like the end or the last chapter of his career, like, it's not a great way to go out. Right. You guys are both players. You know that players want to keep fighting as long as they can. So it's difficult. I guess the thing that sticks with me, and this is a little bit of a non sequitur, but I've been thinking about it a lot in Sweden. Like, it's kind of concerning to me, though, because either, you know, the Leafs, when they signed John Klingberg, they didn't know about this injury, and that's, you know, concerning, or they knew and they signed him to over $4 million a year anyway, which is equally, maybe more concerning. Yeah. I don't know where you guys are at, but I think that's something that whatever happens here, if John Klingberg doesn't play again, I do think we need to ask some pretty hard questions about how the Leafs even got into this situation, right?
No, those are really good points. That is, it's one of two things, and either outcome is like, was the right amount of due diligence done and certainly worth asking. You mentioned that, you know, he wants to play. He will not go quietly into the night here. Another guy not doing that, Ryan Reeves. You know, he's a guy who is going to be heard from again. He's got a 3-year contract and hasn't played here in a little bit. I'm not sure if you spoke to him in Sweden at all or where his head's at, but what are your thoughts about, as of right now, it doesn't look like he's slated to be in on Friday as well. You know, where is this heading with Reeves and the Leafs?
Yeah, I had a conversation with someone about Reeves and this upcoming weekend. right? Like he's probably going to play one of those games in a back-to-back, right? Like Bobby McMahon has been like fine. He's been kind of as advertised. Hasn't scored yet. That's what we really need to see. But it's been better. But I figure he's going to get into one of those games. I guess the sentimental side or whatever of me thought there's no way Sheldon Keefe would put him in the lineup against a Kyle Dubas team. Like, I don't know if there's something about that playing Ryan Reeves against, you know, the Kyle Dubas Pittsburgh Penguins on Saturday. That doesn't make it. Yeah, I know. I thought he was going to get in on Friday. Doesn't look like it. I don't know. It has been very, very quiet around Ryan Reeves' stall, which is quite different than it was in October. He was just a hub for attention when he got here, right? And not in a bad way. Like, he was always willing to speak, which isn't something players in Toronto always want to do. He always had things to say, often had quite
music.
Things to say.
Right? Is he still controlling the music?
I don't know. I can tell that things, and, you know, we've all been around dressing rooms. Sometimes you just get a feel, a gut feel. You can certainly feel that Ryan Reeves is kind of understanding what he's gotten himself into and how different, you know, the reality is come November than, you know, September and preseason, when it's all about, you know, punching guys and you know, flexing when you come out as a Maple Leaf for the first time, right? Things look very, very different now. His stall is a lot more quiet. I don't know. I don't know what the end game is here, but 3 years is a really, really long time. I think we're still kind of early in the Ryan Reeves story, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. Justin and I had a different thought process on the second leg in Sweden, where I thought Samsonov was going to come back and play. He said Joseph Wall, and I don't know what got settled going into this weekend on whether or not we're going to see one guy kind of still pull away with this starting net, or we're going to see a 1A, 1B.
I think confidence in Joseph Wall is really, really high. Like, throughout the organization, it is really, really high. I think what I had a chance to talk to Joseph a few times in Sweden. Like, what gets me about him, and, you know, you can see it with guys when they're went down, and he's not like this at all. He just doesn't live in his head, right? And that's really hard for a goaltender. And, you know, that's something that Ilya Samsonov was admittedly struggling with earlier in the season. But for a goalie as young as he is, to not overthink things and to just kind of literally just accept his place in the universe, as strange as that sounds, I think that's what really appeals to the Leafs coaching staff when it comes to Joseph Wall. He's not fighting pucks. He's remarkably relaxed out there. And I really think if it came down to one or the other right now, I would still give the edge to Joseph Wall. I know that's probably debatable, but the team just looks more at ease in front of him compared to Samsonov, don't they? That's my observation. I don't know where you guys are at there.
Well, you know, I think you're right there, and it does sort of remain to be seen how that all shakes out. You know, one thing I wanted to get your take on, because Kip and I have taken a reasonably hard time about being at times a little hard, not hard on this team, but they're 10-5, but there has been real shortcomings, I think, defensively and in some other areas compared to previous seasons. How do you think this team stacks up? We know where they are record-wise, but how do you think they stack up against previous iterations of themselves?
Yeah, not as good. I was really, really high on last year's team because I thought they put all the pieces of the puzzle together, if that makes sense. I don't know, I get criticized for believing too much in this, but like, I'm just a big believer in so much of the off-ice component and how much that matters. And I think they did well to just figure out the synergy of the room. Like, you had some real A1 humans in that room with Alex Kerfoot and Justin Hall, and we can debate what they would do on the ice.
Yeah.
But you just felt a harmony in that room. You felt that everybody understood their place. And I'm not saying they can't get there. I still think the Tyler Bertuzzis and the Max Domies of the world are still figuring out their place. They've been better, for sure. But the Klingberg and the Reeves stuff is just hanging over them. And, you know, even the additions they made at the deadline last year were just really A1 humans who understood, you know, like Noel Achari is a perfect example, right? And I just don't know if they're there yet. I don't know if the team has really kind of come together, and that takes time. But I think we underestimate just how big of a turnover this roster actually underwent. And I don't know, my faith in this team to, I don't know, it sounds silly, but like work for each other. It's not there yet. It could get there, but I don't know. I don't see that yet. And maybe that is based too much on, you know, just being around these guys and just trying to communicate with them as humans. But I just don't see it yet. And that's why I'm not on as high on this team as I was the 22-23 team, if that makes sense.
Hey, Joshua, we thought we were going to get you on a Zoom call at the last second. Is it true you canceled because you realized you're coming right off the very handsome Henrik Lundqvist on a Zoom call?
That's partly true. Here's a little too much information, but I'm one of those guys that as soon as I get home off a flight, everything goes in the laundry, like within 30 seconds of getting home. It's even worse for me. It's even worse than that. So that's why I had to call an audible, because I
have
my
routine. You for that.
Yeah, of course. I'm here for you.
All right.
But so that's where I'm at right now.
Well,
right.
We appreciate your time either way.
Great stuff. Josh,
anytime,
thanks
guys.
For doing this, man.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Joshua Cloak from The Athletic does a terrific job covering the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's face it. He's a half-chewed caramel compared to Henrik Lundqvist.
Well, we all are. I love the idea of the walk in the door, though, and just gear off. And...
Oh, much like the...
So he told us that he did the hit naked? Is that what he just said?
Like Willie?
Who's the hockey player that went shirtless? Skins. Didn't you see him? That went viral.
It's my favorite beer league video ever. I tweeted it out. It's just a guy going no top. He's just no shirt. But
elbow
pads
on. Nipples out.
Yeah, but he had a cage on, which is hilarious.
Maybe that was Joshua.
Could have been.
No, I don't know.
I want to talk a little bit about your article today on sportsnet.ca, which talks about the Leafs and, you know, the deficiencies on the blue line. And it was really centered, and I urge people it's one of those articles I didn't mind.
Thank you.
On the analytics of gap control.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, you know, the crux of it is this Leafs D-core was 31st out of 32 teams in terms of keeping a tight gap. They are sagged way off. On average, when the puck enters their blue line, their D are sagged back over 12 feet, which, you know, think how much room that is for Nikita Kucherov to move laterally or whoever else. Yeah. And the guys who are the worst at it are the four guys who play the most for them.
Over the years, it's been a peeve of mine that there's always seems to be a disconnect between the forwards and the D for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And yeah, sometimes. And Willie leads this charge of kind of cheating a little bit, but I get it. Well, a guy with that talent has the ability to...
Yeah, you want him to take some chances.
Some chances, and there's... Not everybody goes by the same rules. I know that enough to know.
As a player, you probably didn't get the same leeway as Kovalev.
There are times when I want to reintroduce the defense to the Leaf forwards.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't go well.
So far.
Stretch. And then how many icings do we see if it doesn't connect?
Yeah. Yeah, and so the article kind of goes over that, and TJ Brody in particular, not great on retrievals. They can tighten their gaps up a little bit or get people who skate better. That's the other option.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we go national on Real Kipper and Bourne. We'll welcome in Billy Jaffe, NHL analyst for Nissan, and we'll talk a little bit about the Boston Bruins. More after the break.